Hello dear listeners, welcome to Tales of South India, a brand new series on KJC Radio that promises to take you on an extraordinary journey through the rich and varied landscapes of South India. I am your host RJ Nandana, joined by my wonderful co-host RJ Asher.
Thank you Nandana, and today we are starting off this exciting adventure with our first episode titled Veera Vanitha. In this episode, we are going to shine a spotlight on the incredible female freedom fighters who shaped the history of South India.
Absolutely, Asho. So, dear listeners, get ready as we are about to uncover the tales of courage, resilience and unwavering determination that stand tall against the tides of oppression and fought for the freedom we cherish today.
Our first Veera Vanitha is Kittur Rani Chennamma.
Exactly, Asho. Kittur Chennamma was born in a small village called Kakati, located in the present-day district of Belagavi in Karnataka. From a tender age, she was trained in sword fighting, archery and horse riding as a part of family tradition.
That's right, Nandana. At just 15, she was married to Raja Mallasaraja of Desai family. However, tragedy struck when both her husband and her only son passed away in 1824. This marked the beginning of a remarkable journey as the sole protector of Kittur against the British rule.
Asher, can you elaborate on the role she played in the freedom struggle?
Sure, Nandana. Her courage and effective leadership during the Indian Rebellion of 1857, commonly referred as the First War of Indian Independence, are remarkable. In 1824, when the British East India Company attempted to take over the princely state of Kittur, she took charge and led an armed rebellion against them. She gathered 2,000 soldiers, including women warriors, and bravely fought the British. Despite being outnumbered and outgunned, her army repelled the first British attack.
That is truly remarkable.
It indeed is. Unfortunately, Kittur Rani Chennamma died in British custody on 2nd February of 1829. In her honor and her contributions, the Government of India issued a stamp in 2007. And her statue at the Indian Parliament complex on September 11, 2007, was unveiled by the former president, Pratibha Patil. Other statues are also located in Bangalore, Kittur, Belgavi and Hubli.
She is a brave soul and a true warrior.
Yes, she is, Nandana. Can you tell us about Jhansi Rani of Travancore?
Absolutely, Asha. That would be Achama Churian, also known as Akama Churian. She hails from Travancore, now Cochin. She played a pivotal role in India's independence movement. She was a strong supporter of the Quit India Resolution adopted in 1942 at the Bombay session of the Indian National Congress. In her presidential address at the Indian National Congress historic Bombay session on August 8, 1942, she passionately endorsed the resolution.
But Nandana, could you shed some light on how she got the name Jhansi Rani of Travancore?
Sure. In a bold move, she led huge procession from Tambanu to Maharaja Chitra Tirunal Balarama Varma's Kovdiyar Palace, demanding the lift of the state Congress ban. When faced with the threat of open fire by British police on the 20,000 strong crowd, she fearlessly shouted, "I am the leader, shoot me first before you kill others." These words compelled the police to retract. This act led Gandhi to commend her as the Jhansi Rani of Travancore.
No doubt, she earned that title for sure.
Yes, she did. She has also highlighted her lifelong protest against conservatism, meaningless rituals, societal injustice, gender discrimination, and anything dishonest or unjust in her autobiography, Jeevitham Oru Samaram, which means life a struggle. She wrote, "Shakespeare has said that the world is a stage, and that all the men and women are merely players. But to me, this life is a long protest."
Okay, that seems to be a must-read book for me.
It indeed is, Asher. Asher, do you know anything about the incredible Rani Velu Nachiyar?
Certainly, Nandana. Rani Velu Nachiyar, the first courageous woman from a royal family to challenge the powerful British Empire. She is highly trained in martial arts, weapon skills, horse riding and war strategies. Additionally, she is also a multilingual scholar, fluent in languages like French, English and Urdu.
That's impressive. Tell us more.
Sure, Nandana. She sought refuge under Hyder Ali at Virupachi near Dindigul after her husband was killed by British soldiers and Nawab of Arcot's son. For over 8 years, she formed an army and allied with Gobal Naikar and Hyder Ali to confront the British.
This is getting interesting. Don't stop. Tell us more, Asha.
Yes, in 1780, Rani Velu Nachiyar, with her military assistants, triumphed over the British forces, becoming the first queen to successfully resist British rule in India. She ruled her regained kingdom for a decade after granting powers to Maduru brothers in 1780. She died a few years later.
That's it? There is nothing more?
There definitely is. Velu Nachiyar is credited with the innovative use of human bomb. During a suicide attack on British ammunition storehouse in 1780, some believe her adopted daughter, Queely, sacrificed herself by setting fire to oil and ghee, causing a massive explosion. In recognition to her valor, a commemorative postage stamp was issued on December 31st, 2008, as a tribute to this remarkable queen.
Wow, Asha. Feels like watching a movie. Thank you for sharing this incredible story.
You're welcome, Nandana. Now your turn. Tell us about the freedom struggles of the Nightingale of India.
Friends, I come to you from many thousand miles away as the ambassador of a very ancient country to the youngest nation in the world. It may surprise you that a country which you are taught to regard as conservative should have chosen a woman to be its representative and ambassador.
As everyone is aware, we are referring to Sarojini Naidu. Sarojini Naidu, a prominent freedom fighter in the Indian independence movement, actively participated in key events organized by Mahatma Gandhi. In 1919, Naidu represented the All India Home Rule League in London, persistently advocating for India's liberation from British rule. The following year, she played a significant role in the non-corporation movement.
Impressive. What more can you share?
Breaking gender barriers, Sarojini Naidu became the first Indian woman to preside over the Indian National Congress. Post-independence, she served as the governor of Uttar Pradesh, then United Provinces.
Sounds very inspiring.
Yes, it does, Asha. Additionally, in a notable event during the Salt March in 1930, Naidu and other prominent female activists convinced Gandhi to allow women to join the march despite its physical demands and the risk of arrest. When Gandhi was arrested on April 6, 1930, he appointed Naidu as the new leader of the campaign, highlighting her leadership and commitment to the cause.
Whoa, that's truly remarkable, Nandana. Sarojini Naidu's journey is indeed captivating.
Finally, we have Durga Bai Deshmukh. Asha, can you tell us about her freedom struggle stories?
Absolutely, Nandana. Durga Bai Deshmukh, an Indian freedom fighter, lawyer, social worker, and politician, had a deep involvement in Indian politics from a young age. At 12, she left school in protest against the imposition of English medium education and later established the Baliga Hindi Pathshala in Rajmundry to promote Hindi education for girls.
Wow, Asha, she started off at a very young age. She must be a brave heart.
She indeed is, Nandana. She was an ardent follower of Mahatma Gandhi. She embraced a simple lifestyle, refraining from wearing jewelries or cosmetics, and adhered to the principle of Satyagraha, engaging in Salt Satyagraha during the civil disobedience movement. She played a crucial role in organizing women Satyagrahis, leading to her imprisonment 3 times between 1930 and 1933. This was under the British authorities.
That's truly admirable.
Durgabai further contributed to the nation's development as a member of Constituent Assembly of India. She held a unique position as the sole woman in the panel of chairmen in the Constituent Assembly. Her influential role, extending from the enactment of several social welfare laws, highlighted her dedication to creating a more equitable and just society.
Thank you, Asha, for this valuable information. And there you have it, dear listeners, inspiring stories of the South Indian Veera Vanitas. These tales of courage, sacrifice and resilience remind us of the unbeatable spirit that shaped the history of South India. As we conclude this episode of Tales of South India, we hope you enjoyed this journey through the pages of history. Join us again for our next episode, where we will bring you more interesting stories from South India. Until then, stay tuned to KJC Radio. This is RJ Nandana
and RJ Asher signing off.
This program is produced by KJC Radio, Department of Media Studies, Krista Jayanti College, Autonomous Bengaluru, Karnataka. Program presented by Asher S. Biju and Nandana C.K. Idea and concept by Christina Vishwanathan. Script by Janet Larissa Varghese. Edited by Janet Larissa Varghese. Technical support, Aishwarya P., Gregory Joshua Binu and Varun Vijay. For any more queries, you can check our official website at kristajayanti.edu.in.
KJC Radio.